It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Orange and Brown Talk podcast on a Wednesday, the start of the new league year. Dan Lobby with Mary Kay Cabot and Ashley Bastock. We are going to recap some of the free agents that we haven't talked about yet. No big surprises from the Browns today. Nothing real unexpected. So let's kind of just talk about some of the names we haven't gotten to. And the big one is Za'Darius Smith, Mary Kay. Obviously, the Browns traded for him last year. They must have liked what they saw, because Za'Darius is back on a two-year deal, signed the contract today. So they're going to repair Myles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith here as their top two edges.
Yes, they are. They are really running it back on this defensive line. And in one respect, I think it's great because Z did a nice job. And the other guys, they also re-signed Maurice Hurst and Shelby Harris. They also played very well at defensive tackle. But I still can't help but thinking that they should have added someone with a little bit more firepower, either at defensive tackle or at defensive end. I would have gone for the gusto. I would have swung for the fences. Of course, I love to go big or go home. I love to spend Andrew Berry's money. And therefore, I would have gone for a guy who has at least almost double-digit sack potential in 2024. That's what I would have done. Maybe they will still find that somewhere. Maybe they're not done yet. But as it stands, you've got Z coming back. And again, he did a really nice job. He graded out well. He was the 19th ranked defensive end, according to Pro Football Focus, amongst the qualifying defensive ends. That's pretty high. And he was 23rd with 61 pressures amongst the ends. And that's a lot. So he did do a lot. What he didn't do is get home that much for those sacks. And it was kind of surprising because in his three previous healthy campaigns, he did have double-digit sacks. So not really exactly sure what went on with him from a technique standpoint or whatever. He did mention that towards the end of the season that, you know, he needed to be able to finish. Well, now they have a new defensive line coach. Maybe he will be able to unlock some of that in Z, and they're going to need it because they've got this gauntlet of quarterbacks that they're facing, and they are going to have to get not only some pressure, but some sacks.
So Ashley, Z is going to be 32 in September. We've seen his production, at least sack wise, has dipped ever since he got off to that hot start the year before the Browns traded for him. But again, he has been productive creating pressures. That's something that everyone who talks to us says over and over again. They love pressures. So that's certainly what they loved in Z. What did you think of bringing him back and making him really, at least to this point, that big money addition on the defensive line?
Yeah, I think I agree with Mary Kay. I was hoping that Z would come back. Like, I thought he did well here, but I almost wish they had gone specifically more at getting a big money interior guy. And like we said, maybe they're not done yet, but obviously, you know, they're losing Jordan Elliott, who wasn't racking up a ton of sacks for them anyway. I actually think between the three D tackles that were set to hit the open market, I'm glad they got Shelby Harris and Mo Hurst back as opposed to Jordan, who, yes, I know he was a draft pick, but those two guys as rotational pieces played really well. And Shelby was starting for them the last five games of the year, which I didn't even remember it was that many games in a row that Shelby started. So I liked those two pieces. But yeah, I just think, again, last year we saw them tail off as a group with the sack production, Myles Garrett included. And I do think it really hurt them because you think about the games where that defensive line didn't get a sack. In the wild card game against Houston, against Denver, against LA, those were all losses. Like, again, we can talk about, like, yes, Za'Darius Smith brings more value than if he only had, less than 10 sacks, whatever. He still has value. I agree with that, but it can also be a problem when your defensive line is not getting to opposing quarterbacks. And I think the fact that they're going to be playing a lot craftier quarterbacks this year in their regular season because they have that second place schedule, those sacks are going to be harder to come by because those guys are going to get the ball out quick and they're going to know how to avoid it. So I definitely 100% agree. I wonder if they're done yet. Like, part of me really hopes they aren't because I do think, like, while it's great they got Z back, another big name would go a long way.
Yeah, that's sort of where I'm at. I always try to remind myself that, like, hey, the offseason is just starting. There's still a lot of offseason left. We haven't even gotten to the draft yet. Zeke came in late last year in a trade. Shelby Harris was added in August when we were in Philadelphia. But Mary Kay, when I look at sort of what the Browns have done so far and just sort of knowing their financial situation, and I know they can free up money. There is still a glaring hole there in the middle of that defense. And they spent a bunch of money on Dalvin last year. But you can't come back with, a 33-year-old Shelby Harris or Mo Hurst or Siaki Ika as your other starting defensive tackle, I don't think. So it still feels like there's a hole there. And I don't know if that means that there's another move coming, if that's what they're going to do in the draft. I don't know, but if as we look at this roster and try to identify what's still left, that feels like the spot for me.
Yeah, I think we all feel the same way. And you mentioned Siaki Ika. If you look back to last year, they spoke so highly of him. He was not able to get on the field. He barely played at all. So maybe they think he's going to take this enormous leap up into his second year and become a very, very good defensive tackle for them. I don't know if that's what the thinking is, but perhaps it is. Remember last year, they traded away Donovan Peoples-Jones so that Cedric Tillman could get on the field. So I think they're going to want to see what Siaki Ika can do. And that might be something that they have in mind. So we're just going to have to try to file that one away and see what's there. Just because he didn't play at all last year doesn't mean that he's not going to play this season and make an impact. So that could be one thing. Then, as you mentioned, it's still early. Certain things can still happen. There are still some defensive tackles available out there, and then they also have the draft.
That makes me nervous what you just said, because we have seen this team do that before, and it seems like every time they've done it, it hasn't worked. I mean, like Cedric Tillman wasn't ready last year, and I understand wanting to get him on the field, but he wasn't ready. We've been through this with wide receivers before. Defensive end, when they really kind of relied real heavily on Alex Wright behind Jadeveon Clowney to be that third edge rusher his rookie year, like he wasn't ready. That would make me nervous. And I would hope that maybe they've learned from some mistakes before over relying on young guys. But if their case is, hey, we think Siaki Ika is going to make a jump, that would make me nervous. Because, like you said, Mary Kay, he couldn't even get on the field last year. So I still think, Ashley, and I know there's a guy that you like in the draft. I
There's a
still
couple
think,
guys, yeah.
I still feel like there has to be something left here.
I was just going to bring that up because I do think this year in particular is a pretty deep defensive tackle group. And obviously, I've talked about Mason Smith ad nauseum. So he's one guy that I really like who I think could fit in this scheme. There's also Chris Jenkins, who, again, I think that's a guy who he's smaller than Mason Smith, but he got after quarterbacks at Michigan on top of being a really strong run stopper. He's going to probably be available in the second round still, I would think, from everything I've been reading. And he's a legacy guy. His dad is that Chris Jenkins. If you're thinking about, if you hear the name and you're like, wasn't there another D tackle named Chris Jenkins? Yes, that is his dad. And I'm guessing he's going to come in, with that knowledge, having known what it is like to be an NFL player just from hearing stories from his dad in some respect. Obviously, you can't know it completely until you experience it yourself, something Cedric Tillman has talked about. But I do think there is something there. Those are just two guys because it is a pretty deep class. So maybe they'll go that way in the draft. And we say that knowing, like, hey, Andrew Berry, the last few years, we've only really seen him use that pick drafting a need, quote unquote, that first pick one time. And it was when he drafted Jed Wills in that first draft in 2020. So that's also something to keep in mind, but it is worth noting it's a pretty deep D tackle group this year.
So, Mary Kay, do you expect them still to, I mean, again, they've got to free up money, which they can do pretty easily. We've talked about it over and over again. I mean, could there still be, I mean, I know Eric Armstead is, I think he's been released by now. Maybe by the time people hear this, he's signed somewhere else, or maybe he's become a Cleveland Brown. I don't know. I mean, is that someone who could be on the radar? Is there still, I guess, what would surprise you more if they made an actual like significant move there, or if they didn't and kind of tried to piece it together with the draft and some of their internal guys?
You know, that's a great question. I do not know if they have an Eric Armstead in mind. I would absolutely have Eric Armstead in mind for someone that they should be going after right now. It would kind of be ironic to send Jordan Elliott out there and then get Eric Armstead back. But you're talking about a lot of money with Eric Armstead. So this would be a huge outlay of cash for a player like that. However, I think it might be worth it. I think maybe they do need a premier defensive tackle. I think it's starting to be the in vogue position in the NFL. Look at Chris Jones. Look at Justin Matabuike, however you say that. Look at, you know, Aaron, we all know Aaron Donald. So I do like a really good dominant force at defensive tackle. And I would swing for the fences on a player like Eric Armstead. I was all for them going for Christian Wilkins or one of these other big name defensive tackles. So yes, I would do it. I think it would really help Jim Schwartz's defense. He's always had really good defensive tackles. I think it would help Myles Garrett. I think it would help the whole process. And once again, with the lineup of quarterbacks that you have coming, I certainly don't think it could hurt.
And you know, just to clarify, like Shelby Harris was good last year. Mo Hurst has done a really nice job, but those guys aren't your starters necessarily. And Shelby's going to be 33. Like I mentioned, Mo does have a pretty lengthy injury history. So, you know, I mean, actually both those guys though were really good last year. So I'm glad they're back, but their depth more than anything.
I think that's the exact thing with both of them. They are your good, strong depth pieces. And yes, like with Shelby's age, you do worry about him getting banged up. And with Mo too, I mean, the injuries have been an issue, but I think the reason he played as well as he did, and didn't, you know, his injury this past year was kind of a freak thing, but I think they helped him because he didn't have to play a ton of snaps. And in the past, he was playing a ton of snaps, and that's, you know, partially, I think, what caused some of the injury issues with him when he was, you know, in San Francisco and with the Raiders before. So I definitely think those are great depth pieces, but yeah, you need somebody else, you would think. So I'm curious, like I said, I can't imagine that they are quite done yet. Like we said, we've seen them do things way later on. So even that wouldn't surprise me if this is a few months down the road thing that they ultimately address.
Okay, before we get to some of these other free agents, because they're smaller names. We didn't talk about this before I hit record, but I know you're ready for this, Mary Kay, because we're going to spend more of Andrew Berry's money. Mike Williams is a free agent. He becomes the odd man out with the Chargers needing to clear cap space to be cap compliant at the start of the new league year. There was, you know, they had to make decisions on Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack. They just, you know, Khalil's going to restructure. They don't have to do anything with Bosa now. Mike Williams became the odd man out there. So the Browns obviously couldn't pull off a trade for him. They traded for Jerry Jeudy. Even after that, though, do you think they could be players for Mike Williams?
Well, first of all, I had heard in recent days that the medicals didn't come back all that great on Mike Williams. And as we come to find out today, he was basically waived with a failed physical. So he's not exactly ready to play yet, but neither is Nick Chubb. I mean, Nick Chubb would have failed a physical right now too. So it doesn't mean that Mike Williams isn't going to be ready to play by the start of the season. He had his torn ACL surgery in September. Now he is 30 years old. And even though that's not old in football years, it probably is a little harder to recover from an ACL at 30 than it is at 22. But still, he should be getting ready to get back on the field fairly soon. If there is a sign that he's going to be healthy and ready to go, I would certainly kick the tires on Mike Williams. He won a national championship with Deshaun Watson at Clemson. They know each other very well. The thing about Mike Williams is that he might not come cheap, even though he is coming off of a torn ACL. You might have to pay him some money. I would still look into it. I would still consider it. I don't think that they will. I don't think they want to commit any more resources to the wide receiver room right now, at least not at that level. But it's definitely something that I would be interested in doing.
Yeah, and we're starting to see receivers get paid. Calvin Ridley just got a big deal. Michael Pittman got a big deal in Indianapolis. So those contracts are starting to hit a little bit. But I mean, the failed physical thing, you're right. It's a bookkeeping thing, and it probably helps the Chargers save money. It does something funky with that contract, I'm sure, that they're able to waive him with a failed physical. It's just, it is what it is. I wouldn't be scared off by that necessarily. I don't know, Ashley, maybe there's value there. Maybe he won't get that the market that he wants because of that. I'm with Mary Kay. I'd go after him. I'd make an offer and see what I could do to get him here.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this all day. I do think it's one of those things with buzz phrase here, but they have to do their due diligence when it comes to this because he is good. And I do think you look at even what Jerry Jeudy can do and what the Browns have in their receiver room currently. And I think Mike Williams offers something a little bit different than what they have already. Now, I guess the caveat is they can probably get a lot of the things that Mike Williams does really well, which is obviously his size, knowing how to use it, and making contested catches. Ideally, you can get those things from a guy like David Njoku, who obviously we saw really, they upped his production in the pass game this year. So I think David can still climb if he has Deshaun with him for a whole season. We've talked about that ad nauseum. We don't need to turn it into a David Njoku pod, but that is still the value in Mike Williams in that size and that contested catchability, which I do think they've been missing. So yeah, I think you kind of see how the market plays out for him, but I think they're in a spot right now where they can't fork over a Calvin Ridley-esque contract to him, knowing all the other guys they have to pay.
Okay, let's take a break. And there's two other free agent signings that I want to get into specifically, and one on the defensive side of the ball that kind of changes the look over there. And back on the Orange and Brown Talk podcast, Dan Lobby, Mary Kay Cabot, Ashley Bastock, our first podcast of the new league year. Very exciting. Jordan Hicks, he is one of the team's new linebackers. That, of course, means Anthony Walker is gone. Sione Takitaki is gone. I can't remember if we've actually talked about them leaving yet or not. But, you know, Mary Kay, a very different looking linebacker group. But this shouldn't really surprise anybody. I thought maybe one of those two could come back. I would have liked to have seen them bring back Takitaki. But every indication last year was this was going to be Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah's position group. Like they wanted him on the field every single snap. We started to see that towards the end of the year. So I don't think it's any surprise that they're kind of going a different direction in that room and handing the keys to him, especially because, you know, at some point this offseason, we might be talking about an extension for JOK. So this is one of their building blocks, and they're ready to kind of hand things over to him, it looks like.
I think so. And I think we all knew that Anthony Walker Jr. was not long for this football team. I think that was pretty obvious by the end of last season. He basically gave a very long farewell interview on getaway day. And that's really what that felt like. As far as Sione Takitaki is concerned, I think they really did want to re-sign Sione. And I think he got a better offer somewhere else. I think this was a classic case of free agency working out for a player just the way they hope it will, that they go out and they find some more money somewhere else. And I believe that's what happened with him. I think the Browns are happy with Jordan Hicks. He brings familiarity with Jim Schwartz's defense. And defensive coordinators, offensive coordinators love that. They like someone that can help run their system, implement their system, show people the way. He's got 3 years experience with Jim Schwartz. That's pretty significant. That's more than anybody else currently on the Browns roster. So I think that it's a good move for Jim. He's got somebody that he can rely on and count on. And it does represent a paradigm shift in the room.
I personally am looking forward to some green sticker talk. I'm ready. Is Jordan Hicks going to wear it? Is it going to be a safety? Is JOK ready? We can save that. But, you know, again, Ashley, you look at that room. I think the Taki story is a good one. The way he developed, you know, he wasn't an Andrew Berry pick. They obviously kept him around, and he developed into a really nice player, came back from that ACL injury. So, you know, that's a little disappointing that, you know, he's not going to be back, but I understand kind of how they're shaping that room here.
Yeah, I think it became clear, like we've been saying, that it was going to be JOK's room. And obviously they think he was a first round talent that they got in the second round. They traded up to go and get him. Yeah, between the two, I was surprised that Taki wasn't back. But I also was thinking about, I think about how both of those guys have talked in recent years. And I remember Taki talking on Getaway Day 2 years ago, after the 2022 season, and saying that the ACL injury, part of the reason he was so upset by it was because he knew it might play a factor in how much money he could make and that sort of stuff. I think the injury made him start thinking about those things in a different way. So yeah, if the Patriots give him a better offer, I don't blame him for taking that. And I'm not surprised he did, rather than just staying loyal to the Browns blindly, regardless of the financial situation. And then, yeah, Anthony Walker Jr., that Getaway Day interview, Dan, I think we walked away from it and I said, he sounds like he knows he's gone. Like, it just sounded very different than the way he talked last year. I would have been more surprised to see him than Taki back in that room. But I think he was kind of a good bridge guy for that room, a good vocal leader as JOK got through these first few years of his career. I'm glad he had Anthony Walker Jr. in that room for as long as he did, because we know what a positive impact he was on this team. I mean, it's a big deal for a guy to win the team's Walter Payton Man of the Year nomination, but the fact that he got that and that Ed Block Courage Award in the same year, it speaks to his impact. And I think it went beyond football here, but it ran its course, and that's fine because it is JOK's room.
It is going to be weird being in that locker room, though, and not having Anthony sitting there and just sort of holding court and all of that. But anyway, I'm very interested in this signing of Nyheim Hines. I think he is a really interesting addition, and fans might remember him from, you know, he returned the kick after the Bills returned to play. After the Damar Hamlin situation. And then he got hurt in the offseason, sitting on a jet ski. Somebody ran into him, so he missed all of last season. If he is healthy, if he comes back from this knee injury and he's the same player, Mary Kay, when I just sort of look, first of all, there's the return element of it. And he was with Bubba Ventrone in Indianapolis. He's a pretty good returner, so I would imagine he'd be the front runner for that role. But you look at some of his receiving numbers, he's got 240 catches, over 1,700 yards. He's had two seasons where he's had over 400 receiving yards. He's kind of primed for a little bit of that Kareem Hunt role as well, I think. And him and Jerome Ford as sort of threat receiving threats out of the backfield is interesting. And then, of course, you hope Nick Chubb is back and you're featured back. I think this is a very interesting kind of low money signing, and they've been trying to figure out this return position for a while, and Jakeem Grant just hasn't been able to get on the field. So this is kind of an intriguing one.
It really is. If he can regain his form and come back healthy from this torn ACL this year, they really will be onto something here. He's got tremendous speed. That is something, as we all know, that you cannot coach. He's got great speed. So just from the running back position alone, you have really nice speed with Jerome, and you would have some really, really nice speed with Hines, who also played for Ken Dorsey in Buffalo. So Ken Dorsey knows him. Bubba Ventrone knows him. They know they can trust him. So if he comes back as healthy as they hope that he will, he's going to be a role player, not only in the punt return game, but also on offense. And as you mentioned, he can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can do some different things in terms of running the ball with lightning quick speed. I think they can run some gadget plays with him perhaps. So I really do think that, like you said, this is a good under the radar signing. And if he can come back and be the player that he has been in the past, they're onto something here.
Yeah, I could see us recording a podcast in like October, thinking, man, he's been really good. Hines has been really good for this team. He's been really important. I just think he's kind of a nice piece to have offensively, and then, of course, on special teams, too.
Yeah, the special teams piece of this was, I think, the first thing I thought of when I saw his name, and it was that idea of, man, the Browns have been trying to get that return spot set for the last two off seasons, and both times they thought, okay, Jakeem Grant, this is going to be great. And yeah, Jakeem just hasn't been able to see the field because of those Achilles injuries. And I do think that familiarity piece of it, when you have a guy like this who, okay, like, you don't need him to be the top guy in the room necessarily. He's coming off of an injury. I think the fact that he's familiar with both Ken Dorsey and Bubba Ventrone, and they're familiar with him, I think that's huge for however they want to use him, on special teams, on the offensive side, integrate him in that running back room, use him on those gadget plays. I think all of that is really big. It kind of can't be understated when we talk about, how is this system going to work? How is this running back room especially going to work when you have a new position coach in Deuce Staley and Nick Chubb still working his way back? So I think those are all positives when you have a guy in this particular, like, backup gadget special team sort of role.
Okay, so let's do this just real quick. Let's throw open the floor, each of us, if we want to throw out a guy that signed that we didn't talk about, a guy that left that maybe you want to talk about, if it surprised you or just want to pay tribute to to a former Cleveland Brown. Mary, I mean, we haven't talked about Corey. We haven't. There's a few guys, obviously. So Mary Kay, is there someone that we haven't talked about yet that you want to mention here before we go?
You know what? This was not a huge deal. It was something I had anticipated and told our readers and texters it was going to happen. And the reason why I'm mentioning it is because I think they're going to need to fill the hole. And that is our friend Harrison Bryant left the Browns, and he is going to need to be replaced. We knew he was going to go, and now they're going to have to look probably for another tight end. But they still have Jordan Akins under contract. They still, of course, have David Njoku under contract, and they're going to be playing a lot more three wides next year, a lot more 11 personnel. So it's probably not as important. It's not a sense of urgency to get the third guy in here. They will be able to go out and find another tight end that will be able to take on those reps. But I just thought that was interesting because also it represents Andrew Berry conceding, acknowledging that, you know what, sometimes these draft picks just don't work out and you do have to give up on them. And he was the third one from the 2020 class. Nick Harris was from, what year was Nick from again?
Nick was in 2020.
2020 as well. Okay, so four guys from the 2020 class have now departed the team. And it's an acknowledgement that sometimes you just have to move on. This bus is moving very quickly, and they have very high hopes for this year. And if you can't play at the level that they need you to, you're going to be gone.
Yeah, this is the first year we've seen a Berry draft class hit free agency. So yeah, it's been interesting. Right now, I guess there's technically three left if we want to count Jacob Phillips, but I mean, he's a free agent now. The new league year has started. So he's a free agent at this point. So it's Jedrick and it's Grant. Grant's been extended. Jedrick has not. He's playing on his fifth year option. We'll see where that ends up. But yeah, that's been an interesting development to see that 2020 class play out. Anybody you want to mention here, Ashley?
Yeah, I'll go with Corey because I do think, again, it's something we assumed they were going to do. I think we all probably would have been shocked if Corey wasn't back because he has been really great. We know how important he was, especially as they were kind of dealing with those in-between weeks of Joe Flacco getting here and Deshaun being hurt in terms of them controlling field position. He's got a really strong leg. He had, I think, over 30 punts that landed inside the 20 this past year for them. So again, he's just been key. And he's worked really well with Dustin Hopkins. And that's been, I think it's been interesting. I brought this up before. When Corey Bohorquez first came to Cleveland 2 years ago, I know a lot of talk on Twitter was this idea that maybe Corey wasn't a very good holder because, especially because of his time in Green Bay. And I think it got revived when Cade York struggled last year. And obviously, we've just seen those were completely unfair, I guess, assumptions being made by folks on Twitter mostly. I think that's mostly where I saw that conversation happening because Corey was great working with Dustin Hopkins. And I know Dustin talked about how much he loved working with him, and Bubba Ventrone talked about how that operation between Corey Dustin and Charlie Hewlett was huge. So I think it's a really nice deal. Corey's one of the unsung heroes, I think, of this team that they brought back.
That's a good one. You guys probably think I'm going to talk about Nick Harris, but I'm not. Look, they drafted Luke Whipler. We knew that Nick Harris was a goner. I think Mike Ford is a tough departure. Not that he's going to be the difference between winning a Super Bowl and not winning a Super Bowl, but he was a pretty valuable special teamer. Really good, actually, really good special teamer, really good in coverage. Versatile guy in the secondary, could play the slot, could play a little bit outside when they needed him to in a pinch. So, yeah, I don't know that they're going to miss Mike Ford necessarily, but I think he did a really nice job for them, and that's going to be a spot that they're going to have to replace. We saw them focus on bringing in some guys for Bubba last year, him, Matt Adams, some other guys like that to kind of help Bubba establish his special teams. So, I wonder what they're going to do there. There'll probably be some sort of small signing here over the next few weeks, where some cornerback, some special teams ace, because Mike Ford did a really nice job. And I think he was a guy that people liked too. Again, we're only in that locker room 45-ish minutes a day, 4 days a week, but you do see some things. And it felt like Mike Ford was a guy that a lot of those DBs sort of gravitated to. So there you go. Where else do you get Mike Ford talk? Only on the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. That's going to do it for this edition of the podcast. We've got a bunch of stories again on free agency up at cleveland.com/browns. That's where you can become a football insider subscriber as well. The blue banner at the top of the page. Subscribe to this pod on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And of course, find us on YouTube, Cleveland Browns on cleveland.com, and find us on Instagram. Search Orange and Brown Talk. From Mary Kay and Ashley, I'm Dan. Thanks for listening, everybody.